Finished learning Perek Chaf Aleph. So Perek Chaf Aleph, of course, is the laning for the first day of Rosh Hashanah. This is the story of Sarah becoming impregnated and then having a child and having a bris for that child. Then there is the story of Hagar being sent away and the tefillah of Hagar and the tefillah of Yishmael. And then finally there is the section involving Avram and Abimelech and their bris and their making a pact into how things were going to work. So with regards, so there's three different sections, and they all make up the laning on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, my question is, why? So the first part, we'll see, is somewhat obvious. The second part, perhaps, is also somewhat obvious. And then the third part is a bit more questionable. And the truth is, you'd have enough psukim. You need to get to 15 psukim. You need to have 5 aliyahs. You'd be able to get to enough psukim without having that last part of the parak. So is there something there that's also relevant for the laning of Rosh Hashanah? So that is the next 20-something minutes or so. That's what we'll probably cover. So if one looks in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah in Shulchan Aruch, so you get to Simon Tav Kuf Pei Dalad. It tells you what the laning is that we're supposed to do. So, motzim shnei sifrei Torah, tafkuf pei dal sif beis, motzim shnei sifrei Torah, ve'echad korin chamisha, you read 5 aliyahs, mei, v'Hashem pakadeh sarah, ad v'hi achar hadvarim ha'ela. From Hashem remembered Sarah, impregnated Sarah, and v'hi achar hadvarim ha'ela. It is after these things, which is the beginning of the next parak, which is the beginning of the laning of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So usually the Be'er Hagola. So why is that there? So the so Hashem so Mishnah Brura comments maybe Hashem Pakad Lefi Shabrosh Hashanah Nifkada Sarah Rachel V'chana. That is the day of Hashem remembering. That's what Hashem Pakad is Sarah. Hashem remembered them. So that is the day that Hashem remembered Sarah Rachel V'chana. That is our Mesorah. That's our tradition that they were remembered. I mean, necessarily conceived on that day. Not sure. I mean, Sarah, it's a little hard to figure out why it was on Rosh Hashanah with Sarah, especially assuming that the three angels visited Avraham, when was that? That was Pesach. Remember, he gave them matzos, and he went to Lot's house, he got matzos. So now we're 6 months later, and they were told, and Avraham was told, that a year from now we're going to have a son. So how that works out, that Hashem remembered Sarah on Rosh Hashanah, is unclear, but Rachel and Chana, so, okay, yeah, that's fine. So that's the reason the Mishnah Berurah comments. The Be'er Hagola, Be'er Hagola is the comments on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So Be'er Hagola is usually just quoting the sources for where the Shulchan Aruch is. It's usually, right, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, the very top here, on the side is the Be'er Hagola. It tells you usually Megillah, Baraisa Megillah Lamed Aleph. So that's a typical Be'er Hagola. Go to Daf Lamed Aleph and Megillah, and you'll see that this is quoted in the Baraisa. The Gemara there actually has a Machilkas about what the laning should be on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. One opinion is that it should be from Parshas Emor, right? The part that we lane on the second day of Pesach and the first 2 days of Sukkot that lists off all of the Moedim. So the suggestion is that, okay, well, it's seen that for Rosh Hashanah also. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pask in that way. We pass in like the second opinion quoted there in the Gemara that we read this. And then Be'er Hagola sometimes goes a little bit off script and tells you a little bit about what he's thinking. And here he does. It says, U'peirish haran, l'fishashtein nifkadu b'Rosh Hashanah. Because they both were remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Here it only says two. Who are the two of them? L'fishashtein. Who's the two? Sure. Didn't take a look at the Ran. Avram and Sarah. Not sure. Okay. So anyways, so those first couple of psukim of Hashem remembering Sarah and then this child being born, and Avram naming the son Yitzchak, and then Avram giving the son a bris, as Hashem commanded. All of that is fine. So then the parsha continues on with the story of Yishmael and Hagar. Why is that relevant? Why is that necessary to be stated on Rosh Hashanah? So one could just say, well, we want to get in that first couple of psukim, and you know, if it's only four psukim, people are going to feel a little bit gypped, so we need to add in another story. One could make that claim, but of course, around here, we'll have to put in a little bit more than that. So the Sifsei Chaim is a sefer. I think he actually wrote this himself. The first. There's been many books called of Reb Chaim Friedlander. He was the Mashkiach of Yeshivas Panovich, and he and there's been many volumes of Sifsei Chaim that have come out. Probably 10-15. I believe these were the ones on the Moedim, is three volumes. I believe that came out during his lifetime. The ones that have come out since are notes from his shirim that his Talmidim put together. But these actually came out, I'm not sure, but I think these actually let's see what it says on the title page. Yonim Musar Dastach Al-Chaim Asher, Hishmiel Rabim, Yuri Tfilis Yom Manur, Mi'es Adonim Arenum. Okay, so it came out at least when he was alive. So this is the classics of Seichaim. And the back of this section, at least, on the Yom Narayim, he has a beer tefillah section. He goes through the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, which of the Shemone Esrei, and he gives his, haros, his, things that he adds along the way. So he gets to the very end, the last thing that we say in the silent Shemone Esrei that is special for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, right? We have the three brachos, the three special brachos of Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, the last one being Shofros, and the very last line is, Ki atasho mea kol shofar umazin churah ve'indo melach. Ki atasho mea kol shofar umazin churah ve'indo melach b'avruchata. Right? So, what does that mean? You hear the call of the shofar, umazin churah. What does it mean to ma'azin? What does the word ma'azin mean? So the word ma'azin comes from? Ozen. Ozen are, oznaim are ears. So ma'azin, and you give an ear to the truma, the trua. Ve'in do malach, and there's nobody like you. So that's interesting. We seem to have synonyms. Shomeya sounds like to hear. Umazin means to lend an ear. So those are synonymous, right? They're the same. But of course we know that nothing is the same. There has to be something that distinguishes between Shomeya and Mazin. Also, it comments, the kol shofar is one term that is used, and the trua is a second term that is used. So what is the difference between the kol shofar and the trua? We call it yom trua, the day of blowing the trua. Right, so what is that? What is that distinction? And then the third thing you got to wonder is, why is it that shomeya is associated with shofar and ma'azin is associated with trua? Right, so those are the questions, how to understand that last line in the tefillah. So he quotes from the Eitz Yosef, in the name of the pre-Megadim. He brings two pshatim for this. So one is, shofar is the idea of listening to l'tkiyashi kol chalak v'yashar b'li hapsakim v'zemirames al hatzadik me'ikaro shetamid holich yashar b'derech Hashem. That tkiyah represents the blowing of the tzadik. That represents a righteous person. That is whole and it's pure and it's clear. And the al derech sheparu ma'aseichem, on the way that we shafro ma'aseichem, that we improve our actions. That the attempt is we blow the shofar in order to improve our actions. So therefore we can explain that the shofar, when it says shomeya kol shofar, is a reference to the hearing of the blow of the tzaddik, which is clear and clean and exalted. And the trua is the bal tshuva, who is brokenhearted, that he's coming and he's not pure, he's coming with all of his faults exposed. And therefore it says, and they turn in front of Hashem, ki trua hu kol shavur, u mishabir asalev machli asara, that it's the heart, it's the blowing of the broken heart. Baha ozna hi mekarov. Milashon ozen means that you're listening very closely. So you hear that tzaddik comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's clear, and he's exalted, and he's growing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of lets sit back and say, oh, geshmak, what a wonderful person. But then when the person who's not so righteous comes in front of Hashem, he's coming not being represented as the shofar, as the tekiah, as the pure blow, he is the broken blow. So it says he listens very closely. He lends his ear. Not just listening from far when he looks kindly, but he listens very closely. He pays very close attention to that individual. Not to the tzaddik, but rather to the one who is not so complete. And that's perhaps meaning number one of that last line, right? Ki atasho mea kol shofar. You listen to the call of the righteous tzaddik, and you lend a close ear to the one who is not so righteous, to the one who is coming somewhat broken. That's pshat number one of the Prima Gadim. So yes.
The shofar, shemer is related to tekiah.
Yeah, right. It's okay. Shomea kol shofar, which we're kind of associating with the tekiah.
Okay.
Who mazin trua? Puts his ear very close to the trua.
Where is Shvarim?
Shvarim is one of the notes, that is true, but shofar and trua are the two terms that are used in the Torah itself. So shvarim is not used, it's to represent Yom Trua, the day of the blowing of the shofar. So those are the terms that are synonymous with the blowing of the shofar in general. So, but why is each one being used? So, shofar represents the pure, clear blow, and the trua represents the broken blow. It's true, there is another note, the shvarim and trua are, through the shvarim and trua are, well, they're combined sometimes, and it's all based on a machlokas on how we understand the word trua. Trua is the reason we blow so many times on Rosh Hashanah is because we're not sure what we mean by trua. So that's why either a shvarim or a trua or a shvarim shrua, but they're really under the title of trua according to the words of the Torah. So that's pshat number one. Pshat number two, he points out, is almost the opposite of what the Prima Gadim says, that the azna is not referring to listening closely. Azna is referring to listening from far away. That the continues with the same idea that shofar it represents the tzaddikim, and trua represents those that are not as righteous, but the ones that are close, so that Hashem listens. The person is there, he hears. You know, if somebody's playing music right next to you, so it doesn't take so much effort to pay attention to the music that person is playing. However, when a person is playing far away, and you want to listen to what's going on far away, so you have to put your ear, you have to pay close attention to what's going on in that place far away. It actually requires more focus. The person is right here, so music's going on right next to you, so okay, so it's happening, I can pay attention even though I'm doing other things. But something's going on far away, so I have to take specific and pay attention to that person.
The implication being that if someone is not tzaddik, he's further away, and he's trying to get close, but he's...
Right. So the praise of this pasuk is ki atah shomea kol shofar. You listen to the kol shofar because they're standing right next to you, and you also pay attention to those that are far away. Don't think that one is ever too far away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu to offer your tefillos. And this is where he concludes. Im kol zos Hashem, even though ki itzal bal aveir tzarach a Kadosh Baruch Hu tov la'azin, the person who is the bal aveir, Hashem has to listen very well. He has to find out very closely, very well, whether he has done true repentance. Because even though shebeklal roa ma'isav, even though because of his bad actions, he's being accused and he's not necessarily being let into the gate of the king. Im kolzos Hashem shomea mikisya kavod. Still, nevertheless, Hashem hears them from the holy throne. They're not being allowed into the palace, but yet the person that is arguing and talking and screaming from far outside, the king hears them as well. And matulo ozen lishmoa ulakabiles isisoros shalo. And he has to strain his ear, and he listens to his complaints as well. Al derech, similar to kisham elukim el kol hanar basher husham. Just as the way Hashem listened to the voice of the child as he was. And it's very obvious to say, oh, Yishmael, that guy who really wants him around, it's probably good that he gets knocked off now. That's going to help a lot of things down the line. But yet, nevertheless, Hashem strained and he looked and he tried to figure out, well, where is he right now? And we could pay attention to as he is now, and therefore Yishmael was given a reprieve. So, So that is idea number two, but perhaps we could go even beyond that. That perhaps that is the theme of this entire lading. So I heard Rabbi Penner has said this over, and he talks about that Rabbi Penner is now the dean of Yeshiva of of Reed, so Yeshivas Reini Yitzchak Elchanan, he has made this point that the second day of, we have the two leanings of the two different days of Rosh Hashanah. The second day is the leaning of the Akedas Yitzchak, and the first day is the leaning of these various stories. So why do we have this story of the first day? So the classic understanding is, well, Hashem remembered Sarah. But what about the rest of the Parsha? What does that have to do with it? So he makes the point that Avram on the second day, Avram is challenged. Avram is clear that he's going up to Har Moriah. And he is being told that, you know, you're going to offer Yitzchak as a korban, and it's very clear that there is a prominent challenge going on. That the videotape is on. That he is clearly on the center screen. How is Avram going to react to this idea? And Avram has the sense that something very special and unique and godlike is happening. God is with him the whole time. God told him explicitly to do it. So that's very clear. Avram is given a challenge. Is he going to be able to pass the challenge? Day one is also a challenge, but it's not necessarily the challenge of being in God's presence, it's the challenge of thinking that one is not in God's presence. The challenge of Yishmael and Hagar is, they've been told to leave Avram's house. And from their perception, it's over for them. In fact, there's Midrashim that they leave and they go back to Mitzrayim or they involve themselves with Najid, they're out. And their feeling could very well be, I'm out. That the real party is happening in Avram's house. That's where the show is going on. That's where the video cameras are focused. And we're done. We were kicked out. We're expelled. We're finished. And there's nothing else to talk about. So perhaps the lesson, message of day one of Rosh Hashanah is not Hashem is, yes, with the focusing on Avram when the screen is on, when big things are happening, but God is also focused on you when you think that you're off the derech. And you think that, oh, well, everybody's over there, and I'm just by myself over here. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is listening to you as well. Perhaps that is a theme of Mazin Trua Vein Domalach, that he lends his ear to the Trua. He lends his ear. That person who's brokenhearted and far away and not being allowed into the palace, Kadosh Baruch Hu focuses his ear and tries to figure out, it tries to listen to that person's pain as well, tries to figure out that person's tshuva as well, and how can we judge that person favorably as well. And that gives us this second theme of this parak. So then we get to the third theme of this parsha, of this parak, and that is the episode of Avimelech and Avram. So what happens in that episode? Which begins, by the way, in Pasuk Chaf Beis. So there would be plenty of time to leave this out of the landing on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But yet, Vayhi Beisehi Avimelech Upichal Sar Tzvao El Avram Lemor Lekimi Machol Kol Asher Taoseh Yata, make us this Shvua. Let's do this. Let's make this deal. All the kindness that I've done to you, and with the land which you have sojourned. So Avram says, "Sure, I'll make this shvuah." He makes the shvuah, and then pasuk chafhei is vochiach Avram es Avimelech. That Avram then gives tochacha to Avimelech al odos be'er hamayim asher gazu avde Avimelech, regarding the wells which the avadim of Avimelech had stolen. So Rashi comments on that, v'hocheach niktuchach imo alkach, that he argued with him on this. What is Rashi adding by pointing this out? Rashi, you know, that's what the word means, v'hocheach. Right, so what's Rashi adding in by this word? So perhaps he's just emphasizing the point that Avram is making an argument, that Avram is taking this opportunity and realizing that that he now has Avimelech's ear. And Avimelech wants to make a pact with him. And Avram is ready to say to him, and Sferno makes this point as well, that your land is lawless, that you are presiding over a land that is not keeping laws. And it's not appropriate, and it's not right. And you want me to be a part of it. I'm telling you that not everything is working so well. And even though I might have your protection now, that was the point of the bris. The bris now is Avram's allowed to stay, and he has the protection of the king, and everything is good, and he has all his documents set, and everything is right. But yet Avram is saying to him, but the land is not good. There's a problem going on here. You are not doing a great job as being a king, and there's things that are going wrong under your watch. So the fact that Avram had the guts to make this type of tochacha at this juncture tells a lot about Avram, and perhaps that might be a theme for Rosh Hashanah as well. That Rosh Hashanah is about we're going back in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a good deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right? And when we're back, and we showed up on this day, and we're back in shul, and everything's good, everything's cool, and we're signing our pact together. But it's not everything is complete. There are things that need to change. And the fact is, even though one can easily sweep those aside, put them under the rug and say, okay, I'm here, I'm shul, I'm good, everything is fine. So perhaps the theme here is saying that Avram wasn't ready to settle for that. It might look like everything is fine. We're in shul, I got my suit on, I got my nice shoes on, I got my sitter on, I'm awake, I'm diving, I'm paying attention, everything is fine. But there still might be some things behind the scenes that need to be taken care of. So don't forget about those things, Avram is telling us. Don't forget about them. All those things need tochacha as well. And the Rav Dessler goes on to talk about this issue, that he was ready to... that Avram gadol chesed bevadei she'ov shalom v'radov shalom tamid b'chol sevivav. That Avram was somebody who loved peace and he loved kindness and he was someone who always sought peace and he thought everything. Ach be'isahi, at that point, after he realized that he had the chance to give a little bit of mussar, he took the opportunity to give a little bit of mussar because peace is not some peace is sometimes just a front. Peace. It looks like it's peace, and I'm not going to say anything because there's peace, and I don't want to disturb the peace. But sometimes in order to maintain shalom, it requires speaking up and giving a little bit of tochacha, and hopefully with that, one will be able to achieve a greater amount of peace. Now, Rav Dessler goes on to say that would be his pshat, but he goes on and quotes an interesting medrash, that achar hadvarim ha'ila, that the next perek begins with... Vayagra Avram Beretz Plishtim Yamim Marim. That's how the parak ends, and then the next parak begins with Vayhi Achar Brima Eil Valakim Nisas Avram Vayomer Ilav Avram Vayomer Hineni. That it was after these things that Avram Hashem goes to Avram and Avram says I'm here, and that's when the parsha of the Akeda begins. So he quotes the Medrash that says that because of these actions that he had with Avimelech, that led to the Akedah. I mean, the start of the Akedah, I mean, even though it turned out pretty good, it wasn't exactly a very pleasant experience, and that led to some other issues that we had over the duration of our time. And what perhaps is the proof? It says it was after these things. How old was Yitzchak at the time of the Akedah? Something like that, 37 years old. 40, 37, 40, something, 37, right? How old was he in the story with Avram and Avimelech? 3, right? So it was after these things. Yeah, it was after these things. 35 years after these things. Right? There's a pretty big gap from one to the other. So perhaps what the Medrash is saying is that it's not about Achar Hadvarim Ha'ila, that chronological statement. Oh, right after he finished with Avimelech, all of a sudden Hashem comes to him and says, no, it was as a result of his activities with Avimelech, he then had to go and do these things. So Rav Dessler's pshat is by acting out on his gevura, by kind of leaving his pure chesed personality, and he added in a little bit of gevura, he added in a little bit of toughness, so that toughness is then what leads into the akedah, that he is ready to perform the akedah on Yitzchak. And then, after the story with the Akedah happens, he has to move himself back to the equilibrium of going back to the Ish Shel Chesed. So that is a fascinating topic. It's unclear. So in a way that one can make a case that he is criticizing Avram, that Avram's activities with Yishmael were inappropriate. On the other hand, one could say that no, that we are constantly trying to find an equilibrium. If Avram wouldn't have done the actions with Avimelech, perhaps he wouldn't be prepared to do the actions with Yitzhak. That Yitzhak needed to happen. It might not have been pleasant, might not have been nice, it might have been something I wanted to avoid, but yet the conclusion of that story is a better Avram. Avram ended up being better off for that, even though it was a disruption and a lack of shalom and required perhaps some things that are not so pleasant. It ended up being okay at the end. So perhaps that's the third theme of this parsha that would be associated with Rosh Hashanah. That sometimes we might have peace and everything might seem okay, but we have to bear in mind that sometimes that's only a front. And we there are some things that need to be checked. There are some things that need to be fixed. And even though that might lead to some things that are unpleasant, our tefillah is that we're ready to accept those unpleasantries. We're ready to do some hard work. And hopefully at the end of the day, everything is going to work out for the even better than they are in the current state. So stop here. And...